Well, some of us have been very fortunate, and some of you are joining that good fortune by spending time together, as we've been doing during the holiday weekend here, on the topic of, always remember, Krishna, and never forget Him. This message, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. We spent a whole class just looking at what that means and its importance. It's based upon a verse from Padma Purana. Many of you know what Padma Purana is, one of the principal Sattvic Puranas. That this section describes the process of bhakti, the section that it's from. And in the process of bhakti, there's vidhis, or regulations, things to do. And then there's the opposite of the things to do, and it's the things not to do. That's nishedhas. Vidhis and nishedhas, they're all servants, in the verse says, kinkaras. They're servants of this one principle. Smartavya Satatam Vishnur. Smartavya. Remember. Satatam. Always. Vishnu. Vismartavyo Najatuchit. Under no circumstances. It's a no-no to forget Krishna. It's a yes-yes to remember Krishna. And all other vidhis and nishedhas, they're kinkaras of this one thing. The whole process of, it's one way of summarizing the regulative aspect of bhakti, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, which is what we're being introduced to initially, and then it carries us further and further and further, if we follow carefully and properly, to prema, prema bhakti. It's a wonderful science, and the path is well marked. And we're going to discuss two features of that. What's the importance of always remembering Krishna, and some of the ways. Like the very first class, somebody's question was, can you give us one of the ways? And I said, come on by on Sunday, we'll say many of the ways. Ways that are effective ways that help us always remember Krishna. And one of the most important ways of always remembering Krishna is association with one who is always remembering Krishna. That's our founder, Acharya. Isn't that a beautiful image? It's an inspirational image. Many devotees are inspired by this particular image. It's following step by step as our Acharya leads the way, following him. According to the teachings of scripture, sadhu sangha is the means to elevate ourselves from wherever we are to where we want to be, to the stage of love for Krishna. Sadhu sangha. And he's the sadhu amongst sadhus. That's his name. Prabhupada. At whose padas are many prabhus. At whose feet are many prabhus. That's Prabhupada. So he's the sadhu amongst sadhus. He's the acharya amongst acharyas. He's the person whose association we should want, and therefore this, the year of more, this commitment to read 15 minutes of Srila Prabhupada's association minimum each day, that's sadhu sangha. Minimum. But it's a good beginning. And this always remembering Krishna comes best by association with those who are always remembering Krishna. And of course, one of the first literatures that Srila Prabhupada gave the Western world was Bhagavad Gita, as it is. And we're going to start this two sections, the importance of and the ways. So we're going to start with some messages of Bhagavad Gita about the importance. And we'll start with this one, Manmana. Of the, how many verses are there in Bhagavad Gita? 700? You sure? 700. 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. Well, there's one verse only that the beginning part, at least, is repeated twice. And there isn't another verse. And that one verse starts with Manmana. Mana is the mind, and Man is Krishna. Think of Krishna. Think of Krishna. Always think of Krishna. And following that always thinking of Krishna comes many other activities of devotional service. I like this illustration. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's dancing in kirtan and thinking of Krishna. So we're going to now hear some verses from the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And we're going to start with 8.5 Bhagavad Gita. The image here, some of you will recognize. These personalities, they're the associates of Lord Vishnu. And these personalities, they're the associates of Yamaraj. And this poor fellow over here, his fate is being decided whether he's going the bad place or the good place. And there's a little disagreement over which direction he should go in. Was his mind fixed on Krishna or not? So, from chapter 8, text number 6, Krishna says, whatever state of mind, whatever state of being, one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. So where the mind is, that's where the soul goes. At the time of death, whatever the mind is fixed on, the subtle body, the gross body is finished, that's what death means, but the subtle body isn't finished, the subtle body continues, and the subtle body carries the soul to the next mother, the next gross body incubation period, and then another body. And then, so what goes on with the subtle body is certainly important. It's important during your life, and the cumulative of what you do during your life is going to determine that final moment. Then the next verse, Krishna says, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time, carry out your prescribed duty of fighting with your activities dedicated to me, and once again, your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. Now that same mind fixed on me and intelligence fixed on me, those of you that are familiar with Bhagavad Gita, that same language is there in chapter 12, devotional service. The highest stage that Krishna recommends is these two things. And you do these two things, mind and intelligence, engaged in Krishna's service, mind fixed upon him, you'll attain Krishna. That's the goal. Being in eternal service with Krishna. So we can do that in this lifetime. Even we have a body that's temporary and, you know, it has some problems. Gets old, starts to break down, diseases. We're missing some of our staunch members because they have an illness. It's without the detail. And then death. So there's miseries that go with the body, but even with this unfortunate circumstance, we've got one, a body, we can, with the human form of life, go back to Godhead. And then, Krishna says, he who meditates on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me. So these are the importances. section, undeviated from this path, he's sure to reach me, the goal. This, the importance of where the mind goes. One who, they're skipping one verse, one who at the time of death fixes his life air between the eyebrows, this is the mechanical yoga system, and in full devotion engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord, will certainly attain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's pretty important. What happens if you don't do that? Another birth. And another time around of what we've been through that we're not necessarily so delighted with. There's some nice things and there's some miserable things, and another birth, another prison sentence. Then, skipping a few verses, Krishna summarizes, for one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. The title of the chapter is Attaining the Supreme. These are the ways to attain the Supreme, or the importance of where the mind goes. So you can attain the Supreme. And another embedded within this message is remembering Krishna is a form of service. Because those of you that are familiar with Rupa Goswami's teachings, he says there's 9 stages, and you can mix them, 9 processes of bhakti or devotional service. It begins with hearing and chanting, which we do a lot of, and remembering, which we should do more of. Because the remembering isn't the kind of memorization like 2 plus 2 is 4 and 4 plus 4 is 8 and like that, you know, the addition and subtraction and multiplication tables. It's not that kind of memorization. It's awakening of our dormant consciousness kind of remembering. That kind of remembering. Awakening of, oh, that's who I am. That kind of remembering. And oh, that's who I'm part and parcel of. Oh, that's my origin and source of emanation. Oh, that kind of remembering. Like coming out of deep sleep or awakening from amnesia. Oh, that's who I am. That kind. So that's a form of devotional service. And one can do that devotional service, remembering Krishna, while doing anything else. In fact, we're advised in these verses of chapter 8. We're advised, carry out your prescribed duty and always remember Krishna. In the purport, Prabhupada says something very nice. We're going to speak some more just on this one message tomorrow morning. A pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord for a moment, and similarly, the Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment. Now, he can do anything he wants, but his affection, his nature is he's affectionate, and he reciprocates with the affection that's demonstrated to him. A very simple example. Prabhupada had a way of making things so easy to understand. Supposing there is a mother and father, and they have many children. And they're a loving mother and father, and they love their children. And amongst their many children, one child is particularly affectionate to mother and father. Particularly affectionate to mother and father. So it's natural the loving parents have affection for all their children, and they have a natural affection for that child that's particularly affectionate for them. It's not partiality or favoritism. It's just a natural feeling of reciprocation. It's very easy to understand. Natural. Similarly, Krishna has love for all living entities. He's samaham sarva bhuteshu. He's equal to everyone. And those that are particularly affectionate to him, he feels a particular affection for them. So it's not one-sided. It's not mechanical. It's not a business deal either. It's spiritual. It's relational. you extend your thoughts and feelings to Krishna, Krishna reciprocates in kind, just natural love. Prabhupada explains it in this way. This is from a lecture recorded in one of these little books that our book distributors pass out, Beyond Birth and Death. From the verse, same verse, text 14. Smarati nityashaha means continuously remembering. And for one who is continuously remembering Krishna, this is on our first topic, the importance of what happens. The Lord becomes tasyaham sulabha. He becomes easily purchased. Krishna himself says that it's easily purchased. Now, purchased not in like, you know, go to the store and buy some rice or a gallon of milk and you take it home and it's yours. Not that kind. It's the relational kind of possessiveness. The Sanskrit term is mamata. Mamata. You've heard that one before? Mamata. There's a real nice example. There's many, but here's one. In Mahabharata, there's a section, Vishnu Sahasranam. Many of our congregation members, they grew up learning and teaching their children Vishnu Sahasranam, 1,000 names of Vishnu. And one of our great acharyas, Baladev Vidyabhusan, he wrote a commentary on each one of the 1,000 names of Vishnu. It's really nice. I haven't seen the whole thing, but I've seen parts of it. And one of those names of Vishnu is Vasuman. Vasuman. The mind of Krishna is on Vasu. So that means Vasu is grandfather Bhishma, was one of the Vasus before he became grandfather Bhishma. And the explanation goes like this. This is Baladev's commentary. You'll like this. Baladev's commentary says, one time, Maharaj Yudhisthira, as he did every morning when Krishna was staying with the Pandavas, he went early in the morning to pay his respects to Krishna. First thing. I mean, it's culture. You pay the respect to the elder or the superior. It's just culture. So he was, but he knew he was the personality of Godhead, so he went to offer his respects to the personality of Godhead. Like you might do in your home, you get up in the morning and you take a bath and put on fresh cloth and you go to the temple room and you pay your obeisances before the deity. So he went to pay his obeisances to Krishna, but he saw Krishna was in meditation. So he didn't interrupt his meditation. He patiently waited. And it was a long meditation. And finally, Krishna left that meditation state, and Yudhisthira then paid his obeisances and said, may I ask, is it appropriate? Can I ask, upon what were you meditating? He said, I was meditating on Bhishma. Because Bhishma, when he was leaving his body, even his body was in a pain-ridden condition. So many arrows. He was lying in a bed of arrows. But his mind was fixed on me. And because his mind was fixed on me, my mind is fixed on Bhishma. And thus the meaning of Vasuman. Nice, huh? That's the way of purchasing Krishna, not a commodity. But affection. Now, in life there's sometimes something that disturbs affection and, you know, your tranquility and your stability even. So the text reads, if one doesn't practice remembering Krishna, this is the benefit on the negative side. If you don't, while one is struggling for existence, then it will not be possible for one to remember Krishna at the time of death. We heard the benefits of remembering Krishna at the time of death, but if you don't practice now, is it going to be possible? And now means there's sometimes tribulation. This whole morning session was how to keep the mind fixed on Krishna during tribulation. And if you don't achieve that, the time of death is so upside down, pain, temperature, disturbance, everything, you're not going to remember Krishna at the time of death. So there's a necessity, and there's great examples. One of the ways to become successful at something is you have a teacher. And there's teachers by example. And one of those teachers by example is Prahlad, who achieved perfection by always remembering Krishna. So here's Prahlad. Even he's a little boy, just in school age, 5 years old, and he's teaching his friends about devotional service. At great risk for that matter, because the two teachers got really upset. He's teaching these boys devotional service to Vishnu, and Vishnu is the enemy of Hiranyakashipu. And in between that experience and Hiranyakashipu being finished, there was difficulty. But in the end, he was eye to eye and face to face and completely immersed in devotion to Krishna as much as he was throughout all of the ordeals of being mindful of Krishna and praying to Krishna or Lord Vishnu. Here's some of the examples when his Hiranyakashipu was trying to kill him, not just give him a hard time, scare him. He wanted to kill him, his son. He wasn't a nice man. So poisonous snakes and being crushed by a wild elephant and being tossed off a cliff and being placed in fire. Prahlad was protected in all of these circumstances and didn't forget Krishna and stayed always in this prayerful mood. That was just his nature. Even in difficulty. And on the other side of difficulty, when it was nice again, he didn't forget Krishna. Oh, thanks a lot. See you later, Krishna. It's been nice having you protect me, and now everything's fine, so see you later. No. Absorbed. Completely absorbed. Another nice example, actually it happened twice in two extreme cases, was Draupadi, when in the image shown here, for those that you're not familiar, this is Draupadi in the royal assembly where Dushasana was attempting to strip her naked in front of everybody. I mean, to do it, period, what to speak of in a public assembly. And the Pandavas over there on the right, lower side, they were helpless because they had lost in a loaded dice gambling match. And pointing his finger, that's Duryodhana, who was instructing Dushasana, do it. Disgrace Draupadi in the public assembly. And Prabhupada's comment, she simply got up her arms and prayed, Krishna, if you like, you can save. So Krishna saved. He appeared and provided unlimited sari, so much sari that Dushasana got exhausted. He couldn't continue his dirty deed anymore. He gave up because Krishna protected Draupadi. Even in difficulty, her mind went to Krishna. Then another episode happened later, again Duryodhana's arrangement, where Durvasa Muni went to visit the Pandavas when they were in exile with his 60,000 followers at a time of day that was evening, when Draupadi's magic pot, her Akshaya Patra, was empty. It was a detail, nice Mahabharat detail, which we don't have time for. She was given a very special pot that could produce unlimited amounts of anything she prepared until she took. And after she took, the pot took the day off. No more producing anything. So after she had eaten, Durvasa Muni came, saying, I'm here with my 60,000 soldiers and we're really hungry. Can you provide something for us? And Durvasa Muni, he is a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva's, another name of Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. And he's easily pleased. And he's easily angered. And when he gets angered, watch out. So Draupadi said, sure. Why don't you go, you've been traveling, go take your bath with your 60,000. And we'll try to have something ready for you. And she was in big anxiety because she had already taken her meal. So what did she do? Krishna! Krishna came. Draupadi, what's the problem? Durvasa Muni and his 60,000 soldiers, followers, and how? Give me what's in the pot. No, it's nothing in the pot. I already cleaned the pot. Draupadi, give me what's in the pot. There's a piece of leafy green spinach or something along the side of the pot. You missed it when you cleaned the pot. Give me. She reached in. Sure enough, there was some. She gave it to Krishna. Krishna accepted. And when Krishna was satisfied with the devotion of Draupadi by the offering of just a little piece of leafy green vegetable, Durvasa Muni felt, whoa, while taking his bath, and his 60,000 followers all felt full, because when Krishna is satisfied, everyone is satisfied, right? When you put water on the root of a tree, water goes to all the parts of the tree. When Krishna is satisfied, everyone is satisfied. So Durvasa Muni didn't even go back. Say, gee, I hope he didn't make too big a feast because we're all full. He didn't even go back. Because she had nothing. But Krishna protected her. Draupadi thought of Lord Krishna, and the all-pervading Lord could at once know the dangerous position of his devotees. There's nice details about the exchange between Krishna and Draupadi, but we have to move on. This is still on the, what's the advantage or benefit of constant remembrance of Krishna? There are devotees who achieve spiritual perfection just by that. Nice, some examples. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. They were high placed government officers during their youth. They weren't interested in it at all, in the wealth and the position and the, you know, things that politicians go chasing after their whole lifetime. And they consider themselves successful if they get elected, until somebody tries to get them unelected or deposed or something. But they were already there, and they just gave it up. Interesting. Okay, so they gave it up and became mendicants in Vrindavan, and their wealth was remembering Krishna, as you see, and serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, writing literature and doing other services on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Haridas Thakur was constantly engaged in chanting, and from that chanting always remembering Krishna. A very famous saint in Vrindavan lived for a long time, Bilva Mangala Thakur. He became blind, but his life was a life of devotion to Krishna, and although he was blind, Krishna would come and sit and listen to him singing songs about Krishna because he was so attracted by his devotion. And of course, our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. The painting of Prabhupada in the Jaladuta crossing the ocean, and Krishna came to protect him, rescued him, because he was in great difficulty, having a heart attack. So these are benefits or advantages or reasons for remembering. Now, there are some ways that can help us remember Krishna. Now we'll start, I'll try to do this quickly, but it's nice. Ways to remember Krishna, always. There's a text from Narada Bhakti Sutra that says a summary of what I began with, the Smartavyasatatam Vishnur. This is Srila Prabhupada writing a commentary on Narada Bhakti Sutra number 12. According to the Padma Purana, I mentioned earlier, the sum and substance of all the regular principles of the scriptures is that Lord Vishnu or Krishna should always be remembered and should never be forgotten. We should therefore mold our lives in such a way that in every activity we shall be able to remember the Supreme Lord. Then, what qualifies? Any activity that reminds one of the Supreme Lord is a regular principle in devotional service, and any activity that makes one forget the Supreme Lord is a forbidden activity for a devotee. That's the principle. And applying the principle, here's one of the first instructions, first verses in the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Shukadeva Goswami is instructing the king, Maharaj Parikshit. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyash Chechitabhayam. So, Parikshit Maharaj, descendant of King Bharata, one who desires to be free from all miseries. Would you like to be free from miseries? Or you like the miseries? We like to become free from misery. So one who is in that position, that's all of us, must hear about, glorify, and always remember. So the remembrance is a byproduct of hearing and chanting. We're in a stage of forgetfulness in Maya. And to restore remembrance, the hearing and chanting is there, just as we've been doing. Wonderful kirtan. Wonderful kirtan for several hours here in the temple room. If you were just hearing the kirtan, it helps remembrance. It cleanses the heart and brings that not the memorization kind of remembrance, but the awakening of our dormant Krishna consciousness kind of remembrance, that kind. And again, a lesson from Bhagavad Gita on the how, ways of remembering Krishna. In this same chapter, remember there was one that I skipped, text 9, here it is. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person in these different ways. As one who knows everything. As he who is the oldest. Who is the controller. Who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person, so forth. There's one sannyasi, an elder Mahavishnu Goswami, now deceased from Gujarat. But he was visiting once in Minneapolis, and he spoke for a week on this one verse. He was sharing that I, Mahavishnu Goswami, meditate on, because Krishna says one should meditate upon the Supreme Person in these ways. So, following his instruction, I meditate upon this. And he just went on and on and on for a whole week on this one verse. Of course, that's not difficult. You can go on. We discussed this morning. Bhakti Siddhanta in Dhaka spoke for 1 month on one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, 111 Bhagavatam, and didn't repeat himself for the whole month. If you're Bhakti Siddhanta, you can do that. And Mahavishnu Goswami can do this one. He did it for a whole month, for a whole week. These are ways. Krishna's giving right in the eighth chapter. He's saying, this is why it's important, but here's a way to do it. One who knows everything. Who is the oldest? Who is the controller, etc. Then in chapter 10, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives the opulences of the Absolute, because Arjuna, chapter 10, hears from Krishna that he's the source of everything. And he realizes, wow, you're the personality of Godhead. What are the ways that I can always remember you? And Krishna gives ways to always remember him by describing his vibhutis or his opulences. Here's one. There's beauty, and Krishna is the source of all beauty. Wherever there is, there's something beautiful. I remember early, the devotees asking Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, okay, if you see a beautiful sunset, to appreciate the beautiful sunset, or a rose and its fragrance and its what it looked like, the beauty of a rose. Prabhupada said, oh yes. And you should think, how wonderful is my Krishna? Ways to think of Krishna. And another, going way up there from seeing a sunset, is the feelings of the gopis, where they were always thinking of Krishna, and they were thinking of Krishna as their dearmost beloved. And they were so much thinking of Krishna, they couldn't not think of Krishna. So here's some images of that. When the gopis became a little proud of the fact how fortunate we are, here we are with Krishna, performing rasa dance with Krishna. Krishna doesn't like pride in his devotee. So Krishna disappeared. He vanished. And they became mad thinking of Krishna. There's the thought of Krishna up in the sky. And in different ways, trying to console one another, but they couldn't not think of Krishna. Even if they tried to not think of Krishna, they couldn't forget Krishna. And so they sometimes would, in their separation from Krishna, they would perform the pastimes of Krishna with one another, like play actors, and the Agasura demon, and this one holding up Govardhan Hill, and Krishna dancing, and somebody, the pastime, this is the Putana demon. They would just enact the pastimes of Krishna to get the sense of remembrance of Krishna. Here's Krishna playing his flute. This is the one. This is the gopi who is lifting the Govardhan Hill. And this is Sudama, Krishna carrying Sudama on his shoulders, another pastime, and so forth. Very beautiful painting. There's Krishna in the tree, and feeling separation from Krishna, they're trying to pacify their feelings of separation from Krishna by kirtan. And Krishna is enjoying the loving exchange between the gopis who have such love for him and him. Here he is again, hiding behind a tree. Here's one gopi embracing a tamal tree because the color of the tamal tree is darkish like Krishna. And in different ways, remembering Krishna in their deep feelings of love. And then intensified is this feeling of separation, as we see in this nice painting. And it's not just the gopis. All the residents of Vrindavan had such affection for Krishna. They were always thinking of Krishna when he was gone to the forest. The very beautiful narration in Brihad Bhagavatamrita when Krishna is returning from the forest. And everyone goes rushing to the edge of the forest to greet Krishna. You see the long line heading back all the way to Nandagram, headed by Nanda and Yasoda, eager to greet Krishna and receive Krishna, and Krishna's arms outstretched, eager to receive them. Those are ways of remembering Krishna. Simply having Vaishnava attire, Vaishnava dress, it reminds us and reminds others of Krishna. I can say this from practical experience, because every now and then I got in an airplane, and when I, you know, travel, sometimes people ask, and many times it's not, they don't ask, but there's a visual, you know, you can see that they're thinking, they may not know who we are, or what we are, but they respond. They think of God. And sometimes they'll ask, are you a Buddhist monk? I say, no, I'm a Krishna monk. They go, oh, what's that? I was in Orlando, Florida, just quick. I was going through the TSA check, and one of the fellows at the TSA, you know, x-ray machine, just, you know, I was passing by, he was a jolly fellow saying something to everybody, and he went like this and said, Haribo! And then, they have a system in Orlando that you have to get in a train that goes to whichever the terminal is, so it was Terminal C, and the fellow pushing somebody in a wheelchair said, are you Rolapad Swami? Yeah, how'd you know? He said, I used to live in New York and used to go to the Brooklyn Temple, and we used to go in Harinam together, and you probably don't remember me because I was just a small kid then, but and now I live here in Orlando. And then I got on the plane, and the stewardess, after doing all of her announcements and her, you know, the fasten your seatbelt and all that stuff, I was seated in an emergency row right in the front, and she said, are you a Hare Krishna person? And I said, yeah. She said, have you been to Echo Village? I said, you know, the rural community that's outside of Mumbai. She said, yes, Govardhan Echo Village. Have you been to Govardhan Echo Village? I said, yes, I've been there several times. She said, I went there. I spent 2 weeks at Govardhan Echo Village. And, you know, I didn't want to disturb the people around me and stuff like that. So I just had a little conversation with her later and said, how'd you find out about it? You know, she's an American lady, blonde hair, in her early 30s, looked like, and, you know, looked like everybody else. She wasn't a sadhaka. She just said, my favorite comedian, so-and-so, she named the name, I don't remember the name, said something about having spent 2 or 3 days at Govardhan Echo Village, and it was a good experience. So my friend and I went online, and we saw that they had this invitation. You can go for 2 weeks to Govardhan Echo Village. And we thought, hey, big adventure, let's go. And I said, how'd you like it? He said, it was a really nice experience. And then as I was walking off the plane, she just leaned over and said, Hare Krishna. So Vaishnava attire has its benefit of reminding people of Krishna. Not everybody likes Krishna, but, you know, it reminds people of Krishna. And even the Shishupals, it reminds the Shishupals of Krishna. It's good for them. And prasadam. It's a very nice way of remembering Krishna, that don't forget to offer before you call it prasadam. But you prepare with devotion and you offer with devotion and you accept Krishna prasadam. That is very nice. A way of remembering Krishna. Visiting temples and the deities is a nice way of remembering Krishna. Prabhupada created this arrangement for all of us. And he gave us his transcendental literatures, the Bhaktivedanta purports that are helping to lift the world, just exactly as Vyasadeva wanted, by his compiling, Srila Prabhupada translating and commenting upon this wonderful literature. It's meant for the upliftment of the entire society, and we can also become uplifted and help others become uplifted by extending the opportunity to all of them. And taking part in festivals at temples or at your home or in your community, wherever you, some people are from distant places. Lower right corner is just observing Ekadasi. It's a way of remembering Krishna. It helps us to remember Krishna. And expressions of gratitude when we receive something, even the air that we breathe and the water that we drink. We can't live without what Krishna supplies. Just listening to Prabhupada describing this. That's in abundance, and it's a perfect arrangement. And if you're feeling gratitude, it will help you remembering Krishna. And even distress can help you remember Krishna. We discussed that all morning long. A cause of distress is our forgetting Krishna. It's not the circumstance exactly, but it's forgetfulness of Krishna. That's the real distress. We're almost done. We have to speak something about kirtan. So again, reference to Bhagavad Gita. Ta-da. So, back again to chapter 8, text number 5. This is Srila Prabhupada speaking. Remembrance of Krishna is not possible for the impure soul who has not practiced Krishna consciousness in devotional service. Therefore, one should practice Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life. If one wants to achieve success at the end of his life, the process of remembering Krishna is essential. Therefore, one should constantly, incessantly chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. That was pretty good. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, speaking similarly, Srila Prabhupada, to remember Krishna, one should chant the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Incessantly following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, being more tolerant than the tree, humbler than the grass, and offering all respect to others without requiring respect in return. So this process of chanting of the holy names, Prabhupada writes, chanting the holy name of the Lord immediately renovates the transcendental relationship of the living being with the Supreme Lord. So he's in our heart, but we're forgetful of him, and the remembrance of him is awakened by this chanting. So after I finish and we do our all glories to Prabhupada and we hear whatever the surprise announcement is that Yasodhananda has got us curious what it's going to be, there'll be more kirtan and more kirtan. So come regularly to the temple and participate. There's nice kirtan singers, and you can do in your home or in your community. And you'll not be the loser as a result. Little slide. Do not think that if you surrender your mind and senses in remembering Krishna, you'll be the loser. You'll not lose anything except bondage. frustration and suffering. And that's it. Now,